Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Last time we read this in the passage that has recently captured our minds and our hearts. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, "The Lord is near." Hear this again, dear friends. The Bible says, "The Lord is near." As we said, the word near means near in space. This speaks to the nearness of God's presence. The very presence of the living God is close to you. God is omnipresent. That means God is all present. He is everywhere. And we talked about the immensity of God. Soundly biblical theologians talk about God's omnipresence coming out of or being closely associated with God's immensity. As Louis Burkhoff defines this, immensity is that perfection of the divine being by which he transcends all spatial limitations and yet is present in every point of space with his whole being. What he means by this is that God is above and beyond space, and at the same time, God is everywhere present and fills every part of space with himself. God is beyond us, and yet he is right beside us simultaneously. Remarkable. Only God can do this. I suggested that when you think of the immensity of God, you think of his transcendence. God is immense. God is transcendent. He exceeds all possible limits. This is what we mean by God's immensity. And as we speak of this, it is helpful if we consider three modes of being present in space. Last time we spoke of the first two, but did not get to the third. And just to make certain we bring everyone along today, I want to repeat the first and second modes and then pick up on the third, which describes God. So first, think of persons who obviously have physical bodies. Let's be specific, a friend perhaps. She lives in a space. By space we mean, say, where she is located, her home, and she is present there now. Her body binds her to that space. Wherever her body goes, that is the space she fills. She is there circumscriptively. And then second, think of a being without a physical body, a spirit. Let's take Satan. The devil does not have a physical body like people do. So he is not bound to space like we are. He is free to move to and fro quickly as God allows him. But Satan, like all spirits, cannot be everywhere, but only in a certain definite place. Spirits are in space definitively. Satan is not omnipresent. Now, did you get that? Satan is not omnipresent. If the devil is attacking me here personally at this moment, then he cannot be over there with you, attacking you personally at this same moment. He is either here or there. Now, of course, he can send his demons to attack you while he attacks me and vice versa, but the devil can be in only one place at one time. I think a scripture reference here will be helpful. In Luke's gospel in the 4th chapter, we read about the devil tempting the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. At the conclusion of those temptations, all of which Jesus refused, the Bible says, "When the devil had finished every temptation, he left Jesus until an opportune time." That is Luke 4, verse 13. Notice that the devil came to where Christ was, that specific place in the wilderness space, and then the devil left Jesus. He left the Lord until an opportune time, meaning he would come back to Christ later. You see, Satan is not omnipresent. He cannot be in two or more places at one time, unlike God. The devil comes and he goes and he comes back again, whereas God is always present with us. God never leaves us. So we have people in space, and we have Satan in space, and now we have God in space. Unlike people and unlike created spirits like Satan, God fills all space. God is present everywhere at the same time. God is in space repletively because he fills all space. God fills all space. God is not absent from any part of space, nor more present in one part than the other, says Birkhoff. Francis Turretin says, God's immense essence is present with all, and as it were, completely fills all spaces. If when we think of God's immensity, we think of his transcendence, then when we think of God's omnipresence, we should think of God's immanence. God fills every part of space with his entire being. He is most immanent. Immanence is defined as the state of being present as a natural and permanent part of something. Well, God is always present. It is natural to who he is. It is a permanent part of him. God is immanent. Again, for note takers especially, and there are many note takers among listeners to God Is, I imagine your notes look something like mine. Next to God's immensity, you have the word transcendence. And next to God's omnipresence, you have the word immanence. Immensity goes with transcendence, and omnipresence goes with immanence. To quote Turretin again, "For out of immensity arises omnipresence, which supposes immensity as its foundation. God is therefore omnipresent, because he is immense." End quote. Speaking of Turretin, I want to follow his theology of God's omnipresence closely. I want you to hear from him not only because he is one of my favorite theologians and teachers, but also because he writes dynamically and precisely about God's immensity and omnipresence in the first of his three-volume set titled Institutes of Eclectic Theology. I have told you before what this title means, but for the sake of new listeners, let me repeat that while Institutes sounds boring, think of it this way: a commentary, a summary of ideas, and a treatise. It is actually laid out simply in a question and answer format, like a catechism. And then, what in the world is this word eclectic? This is not a word that we use every day, is it? It's even sort of hard to say. Eclectic. E-L-E-N-C-T-I-C. It means that which refutes an argument. So Turretin took up some of the bad theology, some of the false teaching about God that was popular in his day, and he refuted it. He argued against it. He showed why it was unbiblical and wrong. He wrote an eclectic theology. And in Volume 1, he carefully defines what is God's immensity and omnipresence. He is writing this in the 17th century and first published this between 1679 and 1685. We have it now in the English language, thankfully, and it really is a great synthesis of what the Bible teaches about God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and all of the doctrines. It is a systematic theology, and I read it regularly. Turretin invites us to think of God's divine presence among his people as, for example, the appearance of angels to the patriarchs. In Genesis 18, we read, "Now the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day." And in Genesis 18, we read, "The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham." That was on the occasion of the near successful sacrifice of Isaac. Now, these certainly speak to God's presence, which is near. and the appearance of the angel of the Lord to Moses in the burning bush. We read about that in Exodus chapter 3. Or of the Lord's presence to the Israelites in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Let me read Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Again, these remind us of the near presence of God Himself. And we will come back to this, but let us not forget that God's presence lives in Christians now by the Holy Spirit. We will come back to the Bible and to our forefather in the faith, Francis Turretin, writing about God's presence to us next time. Please plan to be with us and invite someone else to join you. And if you're thinking, I really need to hear this again, and I need time to think about what he's saying, well, if that is how you feel, then just visit our website and listen to this again as many times as you want. Plus, each day's podcast has a link that says, Read Along. And if you click that link, then you get this manuscript. Read every word I say as you listen. This will help many of you, especially visual learners. The website, godisministry.org. That's godisministry.org. Get the free God Is podcast and my script by visiting godisministry.org today. Hearing this teaching more than once will benefit you, as I think you will agree. Theology, what we believe about God, takes time to digest. So do that and join us next time, because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.